Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz here with you, and what is going on? Well, the markets do remain somewhat volatile. That's a given. We can see that pretty easily. They're going up and down and swinging like crazy, and you trade a little bit overnight, you watch them, and they go wild. You know, it's quite the amazing. You know, you sit there and they're trading in big clips and lots of action. Very tough to trade if you're not experienced. It's a big issue. But you know, again, it's volatility is great, and it is the great forgiver, and will allow you many opportunities to create success. But you have to make sure that you can remain disciplined and not put yourself in, as they say, grave danger. But the overall market, the volatility of the market is a terrific asset to be involved with, because it gives you a chance for, as we say, forgiveness. You know, if you make a bad trade, you can get enough movement to get out of that bad trade. And of course, we have to always make sure we remember that the discipline to get out. And of course, now if you're trading more actively because of the bigger volatility, the higher volatility, you need to be able to take bigger losses. You can no longer take, like in the Dow futures we were trading, we're taking about a 10-12 tick stop. You can't do that now. I mean, you have to be able to move and be flexible with the market, but knowing that now that you're taking bigger stops, that you get bigger gains as well. This is always things in markets that, we have to be able to adjust. And, you can't adjust in the first day because you don't know. But now you're starting to see, or we're starting to see, that volatility is here. It looks like it's here to stay for a while. I mean, the VIX index yesterday had a 12-point intraday swing up and down six. So, that's great. But again, recognize it. Don't be like the Duke brothers saying that can't be right. They're supposed to be going up or they're supposed to be going down. This is where you have to get the recognition of what's happening in the market. And the way you do that is you follow the market footprint, you follow what's going on, and that will give you a much clearer picture as to where we're going to go. Now, you will not be 100% right, but you'll be right enough, and you can then put yourself in a much better position to be successful. There's a lot of things going on, and of course, the media loves to try to make a mountain out of a molehill. We continue to get this ridiculous talk about why there's so much volatility in the program trading, and that's just dumb. Okay, we know the program trading goes both ways; it doesn't just go down. So why do we only hear about it when the market's going down? Well, that's pretty much human nature. I mean, I'm not surprised at that. I'm just tired of the ignorance of what I continue to hear and what I continue to watch. Unfortunately, I have to watch a lot of it because I'm part of it. So I've got to make sure that I know what's going on and I know what I can complain about. But I do believe that you're seeing just a lot of ignorance being shown around the pundit and media world, and of course the broker and advisor world as well. And I am not telling you that we are going to collapse. I am not. I'm certainly looking at the potential for a much bigger collapse. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think the overall view is that there's going to be a potential major beatdown. Now, again, that has nothing to do with your long-term investing. It's just the short-term, and it's the emotions that are being created. And, of course, we see a lot of emotion when it comes to markets and money. But, you know, believe it or not, a lot of that is fueled by the media that puts out these, you know, ridiculous statements. And these are the same jamokes that put together, you know, before every financial collapse, you got to keep buying. You know, if you go back to the movie The Big Short, and Bear Stearns was going bust, and I forgot the guy's name, but whoever it was I'll buy more. Well, yeah, of course you'll buy more because it's not your money anyways. You know, you have to remember that the people that you're listening to on air are either not involved, but certainly they don't have their own money involved. And then I think that's, you know, you may not think that's important, but I think it's really important when you have people trying to direct you in the market and they're not investing their own money. Because if you're not investing your own money, so what do you lose? Commission? Okay. You know, I'm a trader. I don't invest other people's money. I invest my own money. I trade my own money. And I think that they do a disservice to the average person in America or anywhere, that the way that they report, why can't we report the facts of the market and how the markets actually function versus putting together a sensationalistic piece on why the market should continue to go higher? Now, again, they may go higher. I'm not telling you not going higher. I would say, though, that the action is very indicative and suggested that the top of the markets are in, which, again, does not guarantee they're going to go down right away. But I certainly would say, without hesitation, the top of the market is in. And I don't need somebody to cheerlead around the side of me, especially somebody who has been involved for many, many years and who's been telling me to pour my money in at every time, right before every market collapses. Now, you all know that I'm a big believer of always being in the market, okay, just as long as you can hedge it. But we can't continue to be hoodwinked by those who only benefit from when my money's in the market. And we can't be hoodwinked from those who only, you know, benefit from the market going up. We know the market's going up eventually. I mean, you know, again, you know, Warren Buffett jokingly said, you know, a number of months ago, that I'll be at 1 million in 30 years. Well, it may be there sooner. You know, if you just take the simple formula of 8% year over year, that means every 8 years it doubles. So if we go from, you know, 25 to 50 to 100 to 200 to 400, you could get there. And that's just simple math. I mean, again, we don't need to be overly sensationalistic about everything that's going on. I just think it's a disservice. And I would love to see networks spend more time teaching, and I don't mean teaching like a school, but giving education about how markets actually function. And we'll talk about more of that when we come back from the break. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. And of course, you know, every day I tell you to help me out with my high school investing program. You know, it's highschoolinvesting.com. Check out the website. But we're looking to raise money so that we can continue to provide this service to high schools because the schools and the system don't pay for it. So we'd like to, you know, I pay for it myself, but I'd like to help you. I'd like to have you along with me for the ride, and I feel good about helping some young people out. And in the meantime, all you have to do to help us out is go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and you can help out. And of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And also you can download the Sporting Edge and our new show I do with Matt Demeter, Crypto Investor X, which is done on the weekends as well. So you can download the three of them at libertytalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back after the break with more. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. It is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz here with you as I mumble to get the words out of my mouth. And, of course, you know, so I say, shouldn't the professionals, shouldn't the networks, shouldn't anybody who's involved in the business world of this be trying to educate investors by telling them how the market works, not by telling them what to do? I think that's one of the biggest problems that I see, is that markets don't know, people don't know how markets work. And it's amazing how cavalier many of us are with our money when we work so hard for that money, and yet we're going to let some dope who has no idea of what's going on tell us what to do with our money. And I always found that a little bit troubling from my point of view, because isn't it easier to kind of educate people on you know, how it works? I mean, did you know that stocks are not driven by prices, by supply and demand, because there's a limited supply and it can't be more created unless they do a secondary, but that they're driven by price discovery? Okay. Did you know that, you know, the component of implied volatility and what that does to options? And did you know that, you know, most markets are already priced in news months in advance? And did you know, you know, commodities, although reactive to the dollar, still trade off of the price discovery model with the supply and demand component? And of course, you know, we as investors should know all of those things and more. And again, it doesn't mean you have to go out and become a professional trader or a professional investor. It just means that at least give yourself the best chance to be successful. At least give yourself the chance to have an understanding of the market function. Okay, then you understand why, you know, I don't particularly care for the Fed. You know, then you'll understand how the true free market system works. And wouldn't it be better if we did have just simply the true free markets working for us? Okay, instead of having the Fed-induced stupor of ignorance. I mean, you know, where is, you know, the Fed, you know, the supposed geniuses? Okay, and I always have to wonder about that type of ignorance, because there is a lot of it. And again, even from what we would say the smartest people in the room, you know, the Fed chairs, okay? I mean, obviously they're all highly educated, but yet do they even have a clue of how a market works? And my answer to that has to be no, they don't have a clue, in my opinion. In my opinion, from people that are the smartest in the room from an educational standpoint, are also the dumbest in the room from a understanding of markets. And I think that does more damage. I think that the free money setup, the way that they've handled this whole crisis the last, I don't know, I guess 10 years now, has been dumb. Okay? It has not really benefited anybody. It's going to have a big detriment, versus if they would have just let the markets trade, the asset classes would have been able to price themselves. And I don't understand why we don't want, you know, why we need a caretaker or a babysitter, and why we can't just let the markets decide. I mean, we're talking about people that are making decisions that wouldn't know anything of what was going on, other than the theories and things that they've written about. And I don't understand why we can be so gullible, and why somebody, you know, between all the major news networks, I mean, they all have the same type of dribble. Okay. But why can't they just give you the facts? You remember Jack Webb? Just the facts, man. Just the facts. I mean, why can't they just give us the overall facts of the markets? You know, why do I have to hear, you know, and I love what I used to hear, something on the radio, you know, like a market update, and the Dow got slaughtered. It was down 10 points. Okay. you know, and why do we have to make it such a sensational, you know, item when it doesn't need to be that? And you would do much better if you would just report the straight up news and the straight up action in the market. You know, people want to know the action in the market and not, you know, not all the minutia that many of the pundits try to put out there. And I find that very distressing for my side of the coin. You know, between, you know, expectations and all these other things. And then that takes me to another story about, you know, market manipulation, spoofing. You know, why do these companies almost always beat their earnings, a lot of them? Because they're kind of rigged to begin with. And I think that that's a problem, just because why can't they just do it right and tell us the numbers instead of creating the potential of why, you know, it's happening. And that, again, that bothers me, just because I believe we could be in much better shape if we would let the markets do what the markets are supposed to do and let the asset classes price themselves, so that we could get what real value was, not what the imaginary value that is created by an outside or third party. And those are things that I find that to be troubling from a pure, simple standpoint, that you're not getting good information and you're not getting information that you're going to be able to use. And I think that thing lies just another problem. And I'm just, you know, I'm pretty much sick of it. You know, I tell you, the listening to this dribble, listening to the crap that they put out for us is, to me, is just dumb. I mean, you know, at least if I was getting a fair and square report, I could live with it. But I'm not getting that. We're not getting that. We get, just like the political news, you get that network or that station or that person's opinion. And, you know, I'm from the school. If I want an opinion, I'll watch a show that gives me an opinion. But if I want the news, I want the news, not your or anybody else's opinion. And I think that that's something that is just, it's a shame of what kind of destruction we are creating through our own ignorant methods. And to me, that's just another story that won't go untold, but it will go untold by most. And of course, many will never hear or never understand what happened. And I think that creates a problem as well. So I'm full of piss and vinegar today, and I'm full of anger at what's going on. And again, I don't care if the markets go up or down. I just want to be, you know, I want to have an opportunity to trade them. And I want to have an opportunity to do my thing. And I'm tired of hearing the crap that is being spewed out there by the so-called experts that have so-called no clue. But this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, I want to remind you to go to BubbaTrading.com. Sign yourself up for my daily updates, which I send every single day, pretty much right after the close, to give you a feel for the day and what I see tomorrow. And all I have to do to get that is go to BubbaTrading.com, and you can sign up. It's free, no credit card required. You just get to participate and get what I'm thinking every single day. And you know me, I'm going to tell it like I feel it. I'm not always right, but I will tell you how I feel. But also, don't forget to download The Bubba Show every day at LibertyTalk.fm. And you can get The Sporting Edge on the weekends at the same place, LibertyTalk.fm, along with our new show, Crypto Investor X. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to step out, have a break, and come back and, you know, I don't know, probably bitch a little more. We'll see what happens when we come back to the break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here.
the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, at CNN, CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
It's 10 o'clock. Don't let it go.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to hear some from Bill Whittle and crew. Let's get to it and see what they have to tell us. Here we go.
Healthcare crisis, but this time they're not elected officials. I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, and this episode of Right Angles brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, you may have seen the breaking news, the headlines, and really not much more than headlines, that Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, and Jamie Dimon from Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and J.P. Morgan, respectively, have decided to throw themselves into the troubling world of healthcare and try to find a solution to it. Now, they're coming into it not with any preconceived notions, according to them. They don't know what the solution is going to be. They're trying to ask good questions. They plan on prototyping it with their own employees at Amazon and Berkshire Hathaway companies, which, full disclosure, I am part of a Berkshire Hathaway company that is my employer in my full-time job, and as well as J.P. Morgan. And they intend to try to ask good questions and see if they can develop something better for their own employees. And maybe if that works out well, it can become a business. But the interesting part of the business, Bill Whittle, is they say they're not going after this with a profit motive, but rather to do good for humanity. Bill Whittle, isn't that an awesome thing? Isn't it finally good that these corporate fat cats, and frankly, liberal corporate fat cats, are not just trying to line their own pockets, but are actually trying to help you, Mr. Citizen Whittle?
You don't usually get a business proposition that begins with the statement, here's why we're going to fail spectacularly. The fact that it's going to be not-for-profit means it's going to fail. And let's just clear this up for those people out there, not our audience, obviously, they're well-educated people. Let's just clear this up for those few stragglers out there who stumbled into this and explain why healthcare needs to be run at a profit. Running something at a profit simply means that it is able to continue the next year without support from the outside. That's all it means. It means it can continue on its own. It stands on its own 2 feet. It doesn't need government subsidies or tax breaks or donations or whatever. It doesn't borrow. It doesn't go into debt. It is essentially a functioning organism. And like all other organisms, they have to continue to grow and they have to continue to keep alive. If you say it's going to be a nonprofit, then you've already determined what it's going to be. It's going to be a single-payer monstrosity. I don't find Amazon, Hathaway, or
J.P. Morgan.
Morgan, yeah, these small, scrappy entrepreneurial businesses, these little guys out there trying all these new solutions. Please. It hasn't happened yet, and I don't want to condemn something before it happens, but the idea that these three big companies would be trying to come up with a system to save this country's health care is alarming to me when, in point of fact, we have known for the entire history of this country how to save this country's health care system, and that is to return it what it used to be, where you had a dollar of health care come out of your pocket by your own free will and go to the doctor, instead of having a dollar taken from you by force, sent to Washington, where 33 cents are peeled off to support that standing army, then sent to the insurance companies because they have an entire myriad of minions to support. So the doctor gets 33 cents on the dollar. Aspirin costs $20 per tablet. Doctors have to do three times as many patients in order to maintain their standard of living. Doctors are – the most critical thing here is that so many doctors under the current system, they're not private businesses anymore. More and more doctors are under intense pressure to simply become part of the regional healthcare system or the part of the Kaiser system or whatever, and now they're employees basically. Now they're employees. 8 o'clock out, it's not my problem. It's the next guy's shift, right? The way you solve the healthcare problem is the way you solve any other problem. You leave it alone and let the market do what the market does. The people on the left think that the market is some kind of, you know, some kind of magical force or some kind of fascistic sort of a, you know, like some kind of a selection system. It's the exact opposite. It's you idiots that are the ones that are trying to make the little magic wand selection system. The market doesn't care. The market is a reflection of the opinion of millions and millions of people every second of the day. And if these big, big liberals just had as much respect for people as they do for automobiles, we would have a much better country here. What? My car, as I've said many times, my car probably has 100 different insurance options available to it. My car gets to decide whether or not it's going to have a high deductible, low deductible. My car gets to decide how much coverage it wants. My car gets to decide where the company is going to be, how much to pay, and so on. There's 200 businesses trying to get the insurance for my car. Because apparently my car can make, you know, better decisions than I can. But I'm allowed three choices now, right? Coming out of this Obamacare thing. And what they really want is that I be allowed one choice. And when they allow one choice, that means that one person is responsible for my health care, one entity. And if I don't like it, well, then it's time to go home with the pain meds, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Stephen Green, now that Bill Whittle is done with his anti-capitalistic rant, I mean, come on. I mean, these are major American corporations that are well-respected in their industries that have transformed people's lives in many ways. And by the way, Berkshire Hathaway, I'm sure they do this with all their other divisions, but the part of Berkshire Hathaway that I work for, they're actually self-funding with their insurance, their health insurance. However, they have to have an insurance company manage it because the insurance business is such a morass of complication that the Berkshire Hathaway basically says, okay, here's the money. Now you guys figure out how to work with government and everybody else to make that happen. Stephen Green, cronyism is the enemy of free markets. And what I'm hearing here, in a sense, is when you get three major corporations to say, hey, we're going to try to come up with our own solution to this, how is that any better than having the other side of the crony equation, big government, manage healthcare? I mean, aren't we going to sort of jump out of the frying pan into the fire?
Well, maybe, but let me get to the maybe part in a minute. First, this thing about not-for-profit. Not-for-profit doesn't necessarily mean there aren't any profits, just means there aren't any shareholders to distribute the profits to. Harvard is a nonprofit educational institution, but they've got an endowment that makes Ron Jeremy look like George Costanza after he just got out of the swimming pool.
Rest my case.
Their dividends are called
Harvard. If you're citing Harvard as the example of a not-for-profit organization, I rest my case.
And what exactly Steve is saying is the dividends are called salaries.
That's right. So, and you know, and this thing that that Amazon and the rest are trying is the way it's supposed to work. Whether or not they actually succeed, this is the way it's supposed to work. Is companies try and experiment, they succeed or they fail, and they don't do it with any handouts, ideally. Obamacare, I was about to say Obamacare was the worst of both worlds, but it's the worst of about all nine realms, I think. But the three areas in which it really, really screwed things up is it imposed a one-size-fits-all solution on all 50 states, but kept each state as its own little fiefdom. Mm-hmm. So you have the disadvantages of national conformity plus but without the advantage of having these 50 laboratories of democracy. So it was the worst of both of those worlds. And then furthermore, Obamacare has this god-awful regulation that corporations have to pay out 80% of what is paid into them in the form of actual treatment. And the reason why that's a bad idea, even though it sounds nice, is if there's a small innovative company that figures out how to make bigger profits, they don't get to keep them. They don't get to expand at the expense of the old dinosaur companies. The young competitor, has to give its profits, its extra profits, to the dinosaurs who can't cut it. So you've got no innovation. You've got a one-size-fits-all solution, and yet you've got 51 separate marketplaces where you don't get the big benefits of these huge insurance pools. So maybe Amazon and JP Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway can make this work. Whether or not they do, I don't care, because they're being allowed to innovate and they're not asking for my money to do it.
Bill.
Scotty, I want to say one thing. I think if you want to make this equation have some chance of working, it's actually much simpler than these big brains think it is. First of all, it's a two-step program. First of all, Chuck, Berkshire Hathaway, and J.P. Morgan, just get them off the boat. Just thanks for the help, goodbye. And then on Amazon, you list healthcare like any other thing that you can buy at all. Like you can buy a video graphics card, or you can buy a lawnmower, or you can buy anything on Amazon, and just let people list healthcare options on Amazon for every single company that's willing to do it, and every single doctor's group, and every single individual doctor, and then you get to go shopping the way you get to do everything else in your world. And that's why iPhones are driven down in cost, because if it wasn't for Samsung and Google and all the rest, they'd cost $5,000 each. It's not so bloody hard.
It would be just like a little add-on. You check that little box that says, hey, you want to add the 3-year protection plan to that? It's like,
yes, exactly. Yes,
I
do.
I would like to add that to
my
head.
No, I don't.
Cold.
Yeah. Well, you know, oddly enough, when I first heard about this, it actually reminded me of something that I thought of years and years ago. I was for a short time, I was a pastor of a very small church, and somebody told me that there were 40,000 Southern Baptist churches in the United States with some 16 million, at least nominal members. And I say nominal because anybody who knows a Baptist church knows that the rolls are bigger than the seat capacity. So.
That's
anyway,
a new church.
That's right. We don't kick them off the roll. But I thought at that time, back when Hillary Clinton was talking, the First Lady of the United States was talking about how to deal with health care, I thought, you know what? The Southern Baptists ought to get together and say, we're going to set up something to take care, for starters, of our own, and then of the poor as well, perhaps.
And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and that was our play of Bill Whittle and crew, and of course talking about this new potential healthcare program. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, don't forget about our highschoolinvesting.com. You can help us out at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. If you do, you will get a free week of the advisory, and also don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. We'll be right back with more of the Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're listening to a little bit of Bill Whittle and his gang, Scott, and see what's going on with them. So let's go back and see what they have to say on the State of the Union. Here we go.
On Tuesday, President Trump delivered his first official State of the Union address, and I'd like to give you the right angle State of the Union because, well, why not? It'll be fun. We tried doing this with Obama. That was no fun at all. I think things are a lot different now with President Trump. I'm Steve Green, along with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott. And this is, as I said, Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. So let's just keep this intro short. Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States, Scott Ott.
You know, I troubled myself this morning to read George Washington's first State of the Union address, so to speak, and also Abraham Lincoln's. I didn't get all the way through Lincoln's. His was much longer. Washington's was rather succinct. But then I went back and read the U.S. Constitution and Article 2, Section 3, if I'm not mistaken, that says that the president shall from time to time basically make a report to the legislative branch of the State of the Union and recommend anything that he thinks would be salutary thereto. And I'm loosely paraphrasing. So basically, the idea of the State of the Union address is not that the president puts on a sideshow or a campaign speech or tries to rally his base or tries to unite the country or anything like that. But the whole idea of the State of the Union address is that the executive, who at that time was the only one who was really on the job all the time, because the legislature would only come in from time to time. That's why the Constitution originally mandated that the legislature, the Congress, needed to assemble at least once a year on the first Monday in December, I believe was the date. So, because it was not expected that they would be all that clued into what was going on. They would be in their home districts most of the time. The president was supposed to say, okay, here's what's going on. I think it would be a good idea if we took these actions. We could use some legislation to do this, blah, blah, blah. These are my suggestions. And then the legislature could do whatever they wanted. So my ideal State of the Union address would actually not be in person at all. It would be submitted on paper. It would be sent over from the executive branch with great respect to the Speaker of the House and said, please, you know, accept these. My perception of how things are going right now and what might be useful for you. I do not want to intrude upon your hall. I don't think the sergeant at arms of the House should ever stand up and say, Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. I don't think he should be in that room. I think that there should be a separation of powers. I think there should be checks and balances. I've got this crazy notion. I think I'll write it down when in the course of human events I get a chance to do so.
Yeah, I was reading a Twitter thread from Jay Cost earlier from the Weekly Standard, and Jay and Scott are the two guys who know the Constitution better than anybody else that I know personally or kind of personally. He was making the point that between Jefferson and Wilson, the State of the Union was delivered exactly as Scott said. Wilson had to make it all about him, so he returned to this speech and tried to bend Congress to his will. So speaking of bending Congress to his will, Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States, Bill Whittle.
At this point, you hear the soundtrack from Cleopatra, the 1964 classic with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. And at this point, as you look to the side of the building, the President is borne in on a litter by and palm branches are waved upon him, and he's wearing the eye makeup, you know, like
you're
this,
not
like
a
the Egyptians,
man, you're a god.
But the Egyptians, that's right, and behind me is a Democrat saying, "You're not a man, you're a god,
mortal."
That's right. And then I will say, "Off with their heads," and off we go. I really like what Scott had to say, and I was going to point out, as he already did, that for most of the history of the Republic, the State of the Union was given by a secretary. Lincoln's State of the Unions were all read to the Congress by his secretary, who took them over and simply said, here's what's going on, and it wasn't showboating or grandstanding or politicking or anything else. What I think would be an interesting thing to do would be to do – have the President of the United States give a State of the Union that was exactly that. Wouldn't that get people's attention? Wouldn't that get people's attention if the President were to just come in and say, members of Congress, esteemed, my fellow Americans? The last year, we spent $3.6 trillion. We took in $2.4 trillion for a $1.4 trillion deficit. That is a significant increase, and so on. Our education department spent this much money. They're asking for an increase of this, but test scores over the last year have gone down by this much percentage, and so on. And basically, just simply list everything that the government does on a large scale, not every little thing, but list the basic economic and performance standards of the various parts of the government, and then simply say, it is my recommendation based upon this information that we do the following. And he doesn't have the power to dictate law. He says, education department's not failing. I suggest we do this. We don't suggest we do that. Not a word about politics, no pointing to people in the gallery, nothing. It is the State of the Union, and here you go. And the reason I think that would be so powerful is because it would give people an idea, first of all, of what the job of the President is and just how far away from it we've gotten. And furthermore, it would be an indication, I think, that somebody is serious about the actual operation of the government rather than what the government appears to look like from the outside. You know, when you don't have budgets anymore and you just have a series of continuing resolutions and every single constitutional law is either openly or quietly broken or so on, I would simply say, do precisely what it calls for in the Constitution and do not do a comma more than that. And I live in the 21st century, and I consider myself to be a messaging guy. So I'm telling you that if you were to come out in the 21st century, I'm telling you as a messaging person, I think, you would have the most spectacular effect on this 21st century electorate if you simply did the job that was outlined for you back in the late 1700s.
You know, Bill, it's a radical suggestion that you think the chief executive of this republic should act like the chief executive of a republic instead of like a king.
That's why it's so shocking and so, yeah. That's why it's so shocking and new.
Yeah, well, okay. You know what? I can keep mine very short. So, Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States, Steve Green. And here's all I would have to say. I'm going to take a little bit from Bill and a little bit from Scott and kind of put it together into one very short address, which would be this. The State of the Union is pretty good, but it would be a lot better if you hadn't turned so much over to the executives. So if you lousy bastards get off your asses and do your job, the State of the Union would be a whole lot stronger. Thank you. Good night. God bless the United States of America.
And of course, that's our guys who have a pretty solid understanding and obviously have a great deal of information to provide you. And you know, again, it's an opinion piece, but I think that, you know, it's fairly solid. And I think that's something that we always need to understand is what is the actual job of the politicians that we have, because they certainly aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And of course, you know, that's what creates other issues throughout the globe. And that's really what we have. But in the meantime, this has been the Bubba Show. And we thank Bill Whittle and Scott and Steve for sharing in some of their information on the show today. And of course, don't forget about our highschoolinvesting.com program, which obviously we help educate right now in over 300 high schools and looking for help from you to help us. And of course, I do want to put a big thank you out to Rhonda and Melanie and Warner and John and Wisconsin John and Calvin and you know, Joanne and Carolyn. We always appreciate the donations, and you can help us out if you want to go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and you can get also a week free advisory if you do that. And in the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. That's where you'll find the Bubba Show, the Sporting Edge, and Crypto Investor X. And of course, Bubba's daily updates, which are free to you if you go to BubbaTrading.com and sign up for them. I'll email you every day a little link that'll give you a video recording of what the day's events were. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow at the same time and the same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.